Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillah. Elhamdülillah. Nestaînuhu ve nestağfiruhu. Ve na'ûzu billahi min şurûri enfusina ve min seyyiâti amâlinâ. Men yehdillâhu fela mudille lehu ve men yudlilhu fela hâdiye lehu. Ve neşhedü en lâ ilâhe illallah vahdehu lâ şerîke lehu. Ve neşhedü en Muhammeden abdühü ve resûlullah. صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان، حبيبتان إن الرحمن. سبحان الله وبحمده، سبحان الله العظيم. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Alhamdulillah, we are now on lesson number 75 concerning wisdom of actions, and extensively we have discussed about azan, iqamat, the virtues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand deen better. And now we, in brief, we start discussing about the secrets of zakat. Thereafter, we will talk about also briefly secrets of fasting, and then secrets of i'tikaf, and then briefly secrets of hajj. All this I will discuss briefly. Then, alhamdulillah, we have covered taharat to some extent, to some detail, and salat in brief, zakat briefly, fasting briefly, i'tikaf briefly, and hajj briefly. Then what we will do is come and discuss now at a later stage, after giving you a brief introduction of the secrets and the wisdoms of zakat, fasting, i'tikaf, and hajj, will come in detail. Now is to give you an overall picture, so that your mind knows that there are certain secrets and wisdoms of the pillars of Islam. The details will come later. After many lessons, inshallah, we will discuss all these secrets and these wisdoms in detail, step by step, law by law, all the wisdoms about it. As far as the secrets of zakat, when the word zakat is mentioned, it does not only refer to the farz zakat, the obligatory zakat, but to all forms of spending for the pleasure of Allah. The word zakat is used to refer to all of these only because it is the best form of charity. Zakat, generally we talk of the obligatory zakat because this is the best form and has got the most amount of benefits. The literal meaning of zakat is to cleanse, and it has this name because spending in charity for the pleasure of Allah cleanses both the wealth being spent as well as the person spending it. When the zakat is mentioned in the verses of Quran revealed in Mecca, it refers to charity given to the poor, because the technical zakat, which you and I know about, when we talk of zakat, we're talking of the 2.5%, that was made for us only in 2 AH. Now this zakat, it means to clean, to purge, to cleanse. And it is obviously for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it is done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it purges, it cleans, It purifies many things. It cleans and purifies that person who gives the zakat. Because materialism is one of the greatest disasters that has hit mankind. Let alone Muslims, even non-Muslims. Imperialism, capitalism, materialism, love for wealth, love for material goods, merchandise, fashion, clothing, love for luxury, comfort, mansion, love for money. This has caused ruin for Muslims and non-Muslims. And now you see in the world people are waking up and realizing and protesting and having marches and burning and looting against materialism. But this zakat, it cleans the person. It takes away the love of wealth, love of materialism from the heart. It takes away love of monetarism from the brain of a person. It cleans that person. It purifies that person's thoughts that everything comes from Allah. Allah is the giver and provider. Now I'm giving my wealth in zakat. I'm giving my wealth to help people. So he'll become pure. And then Allah makes that person give wealth so the remaining wealth becomes pure. The remaining wealth is now cleaned. In fact, zakat is like taking out, some ulama have written that zakat is like taking out the dirt from your wealth. Although it is dirt for the person who is giving the wealth, but it is absolutely pure, wholesome, good for the receiving end, providing the receiving end is deserving and worthy of it. The person giving the zakat, it is his so-called filth and dirt and muck. But on the receiving end, it is absolutely pure. Yeah, we've got some difficulty that the person who's giving the zakat, he is not grateful and appreciative. And the person who is receiving wealth, unfortunately, sometimes he is not grateful and appreciative. The person who is giving the zakat, they feel this is a burden and a tax. Meanwhile, zakat is not a burden and a tax. And the person who is receiving the zakat, they think sometimes, not in all cases, that they think it is their birthright to receive the zakat. Which both are wrong. If you have both these attitudes are wrong. The person giving the zakat, he should be having this attitude that Allah has favored him with boons and favors and comforts and ease, and Allah has blessed him with wealth, and Allah is just asking, give your 2.5% assets minus liabilities, give it away in charity. Allah has favored him. Allah has blessed him. He should think from that angle, that how fortunate is he that Allah has given him the ability to dispose and to dispense and to discharge his zakat. And the person who is receiving, he should have this attitude that Allah is making me a recipient of his favors and boons, and Allah is helping and supporting and aiding me by this wonderful divine system of zakat. And he should be grateful and thankful that the wealthy are dispensing and disposing of their zakat so that he can survive and he can live a comfortable life and he can be one who can meet ends of the day. Now, spending in the path of Allah is necessary for 6 reasons. We will start the discussion and whatever can be done, otherwise when we come back in lesson 76 we'll continue. Number one, to alleviate the need of the improvised of the poor people. When a needy person either verbally or in behavior begs before Allah to fulfill a need of his, he is then knocking on the door of Allah's generosity. Allah then inspires the heart of some kind soul to fulfill this need for the poor person. When he responds to this inspiration, Allah becomes pleased with him and surrounds him with mercy and blessing. So we see that the poor man, obviously, that a poor man cannot go around hand and cap in hand to everywhere. So eventually the poor person cries before Allah, pleads before Allah, and the poor person is one who is begging before Allah. And when that person begs before Allah, then Allah inspires and softens the heart of a person. And this person here, now he, because he has been softened by Allah and inspired by Allah, that this person gives that poor person some wealth. Now, because he has pleased Allah and he has fulfilled the command and injunction of Allah, this person comes under the special mercy of Allah, and he comes under the blessings of Allah. That is why the person who gives in charity, he doesn't lose. The person who gives gets more. And that is why clearly in the Quran it is stated that the person who gives, he gets more, and the person who devours interest, he in the end gets less. And this whole materialistic system of economics is based on this evil rotating whirlpool system of interest, which is destructive in nature. But if you look at it, if a person has to show you on paper that, see, you got 1 million rand, and if you give out 2.5%, then your balance sheet will show you that 250,000 rand away, taken out of the 1 million. And if you see that person getting interest, just say for calculation's sake, 2.5%, then you'll see it is 1 million plus 250,000. So on the balance sheet, it looks like you're getting more. But this concept of barakah, of blessing, of value of money, we have not understood. But once we feel it, understand it, practice upon it, then you see the goodness and the barakat of it. Blessing, the enemies of Islam have not understood, and the disobedient Muslims have not understood what we mean by blessing in wealth, what we mean by value in of money, what we mean by the money that you give, that you get, instead of getting interest, which will eventually destroy you. Many people say that, look at that person, he's dealing in interest, but nothing is happening to him. He's buying more cars, he's in luxury, he's smiling, he got mentioned, this is happening. But who knows the inner condition of that person, that how many tablets he's taking to sleep, what is happening when he is sleeping. So, and what is going to happen to him 10 years down the line, or what is going to happen to his children who devour that interest, and definitely what is going to happen to him, the devourers of interest, when they reach the grave and the akhirat. But the person who is charitable and the person who is disposing of his zakat, then in this world, he's helping himself, he's helping the poor, and he's helping the community by bringing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shah Wali Al Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh recounts an incident saying, a poor person once asked me for something. I felt the inspiration in my heart, instructing me to give him what he wanted, and promising me tremendous rewards in this world and in the akhirah if I did so. I then gave him and witnessed the fulfillment of the promise. I therefore personally experienced the knock of the pauper on the door of generosity. The inspiration that follows, Allah's choice of my heart to fulfill the need for him, and the rewards thereafter. So a person, when he is giving, he should do it happily. He should do it voluntarily. and he do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will see automatically the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending. So we are discussing the in spending in the path of Allah is necessary for the following reasons. One, to alleviate the need of the poor. Number two, to attract the mercy of Allah. It sometimes happens that spending in certain avenue is specified as a cause of attracting the mercy of Allah. Because the rule is, if we please Allah, Allah is happy and Allah's mercy comes. If we displease Allah, Allah is displeased, His anger comes. Whoever that spends in this avenue is showered with the mercies of Allah. Two examples we give. When a divine decree is made to uplift a particular nation, anyone spending towards the upliftment of the nation in question will become deserving of Allah's mercy. And in history we can see this happened, that when there is a divine call, that spend, for example, in our times we have calamities, earthquakes, tsunamis, destruction by lightning, and we have destruction by rain, and people are suffering and dying, people lose their homes and lives, starvation takes place. Now these are divine calls. So as if we respond to these divine calls, the mercy of Allah is attracted. This occurred, for example, when the Muslim army marched with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Tabuk. On that occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who donated all that he possessed in the path of Allah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who donated half of his property, and Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, who at first donated 300 fully equipped camels, followed by another 200, and then a further 300. That means in total he donated 800 fully equipped camels. Pleased with this generosity and pleased with this generous donation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be no sin upon Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu for whatever he does after this, if he does not spend the path of Allah again after this. So there was a need, there was a demand, there was a call. Call was to go out and spend for Tabuk. Because Tabuk was the longest, most tedious, difficult expedition of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the most tedious ghazwa of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ghazwa is when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated in that expedition. And Saraya is when, in that expedition, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not participate. There, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who it is famous, he donated everything. Everything what was in his household, and upon question of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what have you left? He said, I have left Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who, although his contribution in quantity was more than that of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, but it was half. But can you imagine the sacrifices which Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in made? And today we have got people, especially the Shias, who verbally attack and criticize and swear and curse the Khulafa'i Rashidin and Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in. On this occasion, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala who first donated 300 fully equipped camels, followed by another 200, and then a further 300. Immediately, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed at the tongue of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be no sin upon Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu for whatever he does after this. Meaning, if he does not spend a single dirham or dinar after this, there will be no accountability for him. because he has done, alhamdulillah, enough. Secondly, second example, when people are dying of starvation due to a drought, and Allah wishes to help such people, any person who contributes towards their welfare will attain Allah's mercy. And alhamdulillah, the Muslims throughout the world are very generous. And because of their generosity and sympathy, we are saved from the punishment and wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala grant the Muslims more ability. However, here there is one point I would like to mention. That on one side we are generous, then you should make sure that your charity, whether it is zakat, whether it is sadaqah, whether it is lillah, whether it is interest, reaches the point of destiny. Because we come to hear and read that many times that those who are collecting the funds embezzle the funds. Those who are collecting the funds, they charge so much service charge fees that end result is one-tenth or half of the money only reaches the destination. And so many times we hear that those who are going to distribute the money live in luxury, and only very little is distributed to the actual recipient. So you should, it is your money, your prerogative, your contribution, your dispensation. So you should be very careful who you giving it. It doesn't mean that the person has got the title of Sheikh or Maulana or Mufti or Sheikhul Hadith, that your money is being disposed and dispensed properly. You should worry about this. And this is a very worrying factor, that let alone enemies of Islam, non-Muslims, even Muslims unfortunately have lost the fear of Allah and embezzle, misappropriate the funds. And this is in line, in keeping with the statement of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people will regard these funds as booty, and people will be misappropriating trust funds. As signs of Day of Judgment, it comes clear in the ahadith that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that there will come a time where people will regard these funds to be their own personal funds and booty, and gross misappropriation of funds will be taking place. We witness this, we see this, but who can we cry to and who can we say? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given us guidelines by which to ascertain which are the avenues that will attract Allah's mercy. He has told us which people are and which avenues to spend in. So whoever will believe in him, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and act accordingly will find the promises of reward to be true. So, alhamdulillah, we know those avenues, logically and from the Sharia, which require funding. We know that the institutes of learning, the darulum, the makatib, and the madrasas, the publication of literature, the propagation of deen, the striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the upliftment of the Okaf properties, the upkeep of the masajid and the kabastans, and the upkeep of Muslim amenities and faculties, and the various methods of spreading of the deen. All this should be funded, and all should be kept alive, and all will earn the and attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with those areas which are devastated by the winds and the floods and the rain and the water and by earthquakes and calamities from the sky, and which are devastated by nuclear experimentations, and which are ruined by tsunamis, etc. So all these are avenues. So no one can say And we see and read daily how Muslims have been pushed out of their homes, and how Muslims have been starved, and the women have been raped, and the children are made orphans, and how people are starving in so many areas. But there should be some coordinated, proper method of doing it. Like how you have got in certain areas that wealthy families combine and they take over the entire village or entire town. Then they care for that area or village. They so-called adopt that area and village. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the financial muscle and has given us this institute of zakat and lillah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the institute of sadaqah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at it carefully, has given us a deen. And if you have to summarize this deen, we will get an Islamic perspective that pray and pay. And if you have to summarize and in two words summarize the enemies of Islam, their system of life is work and play. If you look at Islam, then we have got that we are praying. At every given interval, we are praying. From sunrise to sunset, we are praying. And even after sunset, we still pray. If you look at our system of life, it is Fajr. Before that, those who are fortunate and blessed standing for Tahajjud. And then the Fajr Salat. Then you got the Ishraq and the Chast. Then you got the Zuhur Salat. Then you got before the Fajr and after the Zuhr, and before the Zuhr, the Sunnah Salat. And then before the Asr, the Sunnah Salat. And then the Asr Salat. And then the Maghrib Salat. And the Sunnah after the Maghrib Salat, and the Awabin. And then the Isha, the before the Isha, the Sunnah. And after the Isha, the Sunnah. Then the Witr Salat. Then the Tahajjud Salat. So all this is praying, praying all the time. And then come Ramadan, we increase our prayer, making the additional 20 rakats, Taraweeh Salat. And then on the day of delight and joy, our celebration is not like the celebration of the enemies, dancing and womanizing and drinking and fighting and quarreling after becoming intoxicated, murdering and raping, and then adultery and fornication and music, all that intoxication of the mind and the body, not allowing the person to do what he normally has to do. We are sober and we are sane. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come the day of Eid even, we are said and we are told and instructed, go and make two rakats of wajib salat with six extra takbirs. So our enjoyment is based upon prayer and prayer. And then after that, if you look at it, then start giving charity. Give charity zakat, 2.5% of the wealth. Then if you have to give kafara, then give money. If you have to cannot keep qaza, feed the poor, give charity. Then the lillah, voluntary, optional charity to be given for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come Ramzan, give sadqatul fitr, so that the poor can benefit. And come Qurbani, the ayam al-nahr, the days of the sacrifice, that also now give charity. And when the baby is born, that for a boy, two goats, again, make the poor part of your akikah. And if it's a girl, one, make the poor part of your akikah. Come Qurbani, sacrifice animal, one share in a big animal, or the goat or the sheep, classified as a share. Whole idea is to pray and look at the welfare and well-being of the poor people. Why? All this will attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will alleviate the need of the poor, which is the purpose and secret of zakat. And yes, zakat, we are using it as a general charitable term. We are using it as a broad term, so that the poor can benefit. Now, alhamdulillah, that if you have to look at it, we are all the time praying or we are giving. We are either praying or we are paying. But if you look at the enemy's system of life, that is working. Every time, that is why this materialistic world, and that is why zakat has come, so that this materialistic world must come out of the heart and the blood and the system. That this person who is enemy of Islam or disobedient, far as he is concerned, he must work and work and work. From sunrise to sunset he is working. And he will work sacrificing prime time of his, for his children and his family, and he will not pray, he will not focus on Allah. He'll be driven by love for the world, driven by love for wealth and monetary gain and materialistic outlook in life, and he will work until he dies. And in his spare time, he work in the office and go and play football in the night. Work and go and play soccer indoors, and work and go and play badminton, work and go and play cricket, soccer, go and play badminton, work and do some running, go work and go in the gym, work and play, work and play. That is his entire system, that is his entire life rotating around that. So Allah has given us a deen that is divine, that is perfect, that is easy, that is helping ourselves and helping those who are less fortunate. And if the Muslims come onto this path of helping others and helping themselves, not injuring and harming themselves and not injuring and harming others, then we will be a successful nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will soften the hearts of people and we'll be able to rule again. So alhamdulillah, in this lesson 75, we have started discussing the secrets of zakat, and we have mentioned what zakat etc. means, and then spending the path of Allah is necessary for the following six reasons, and we have spoken about two of these reasons. One is to remove the need of the poor, and number two is to attract the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah, when we come back in lesson number 76, we will continue to discuss the reasons for the need of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.